Well, good morning and happy Easter, happy Resurrection Sunday once again. Our scripture text this morning will be taken from the first epistle to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 and 20. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now, our scripture this morning is taken from what we might call the resurrection chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll give you a brief outline. We would all do well to read through this chapter at some point over the course of the day today. Surely the Lord has given us the time to do so. Verses 1 through 4, we have the plain presentation of the gospel culminating in the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Verses 5 through 8, the witnesses to his resurrection. He was seen by many, including at one point over 500 brethren at once. And Paul offers them up as references for anybody who may be a skeptic who is reading his letter in the church of Corinth at that time. Verses 9 through 19, the necessity of preaching and believing the doctrine of the resurrection. In our text, we're going to kind of cross over from this point to the next. Verses 20 through 28, the fact that death is an enemy and that it will be destroyed, for it is written, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Death is an enemy. It's unnatural. It came into the world because of our own sin. For as it is written, the wages of sin is death. Verses 29 through 34, we have the effects of denying the resurrection, and we'll be alluding to that as well this morning. Verses 35 through 49, the mystery of the earthly and celestial bodies, the affirmation that there is indeed a day coming where the saints of the living God will be resurrected bodily. Verses 50 through 58, the doxology with regard to the fact that Christians are partakers of the once for all victory, right? Christ died once for all sin. The once for all victory secured by the very Son of God. Amen. This Easter morning, we'll take each verse in our text in turn and then offer some applications from them. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. And we're going to pick up on four words in particular. The first being if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. The hypothetical scenario. If we worship a God or a spiritual leader, if you will, who's in the grave, there's no point. There's no point. Oh, but it's not so. Because we do, in fact, have a God who lives in heaven. And because he lives, we will live also. The futility of worshiping a dead God or a dead spiritual leader is pointed out here. Such teachers as Buddha and Confucius and all of these kinds of folks, they can't save you. They're still in the grave. Jesus Christ has the power to save, and him alone. because he's alive. He's proved the veracity of his words.
Amen.
He's proved the truthfulness of his statements by his actions, by taking up his life again. Jesus can save you, for he has overcome the grave. This life, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. This life is contrasted with what the Bible calls eternal life. There's this life, and there is the eternal state, that is, the life to come. Now there's an eternal state for each and every one of us. We each have a body and a spirit, or a soul, or if you are a theologian who likes to parse things a lot, you might say, take a tripartite approach and say body, soul, and spirit. But nevertheless, we're going to take soul and spirit as one for our purpose of drawing the application here. This life and eternal life. For eternity, the Christian will be spending that time in heaven, in God's presence. For the unbeliever, I can't say it more plainly than this, and I can't apologize for it. Jesus certainly never did. The unbeliever will spend eternity apart from God in a literal hell. It was affirmed by the prophets, and the veracity of those statements were affirmed by none other than Christ Jesus. We must take Jesus Christ and all of him or none of him. He doesn't give us a buffet from which to choose, but he gives us spiritual truth. We can accept it or we cannot accept it. Doesn't make it any less true. For the one who imparted that spiritual truth to his hearers is the living God himself. Those who choose to have Christ now will have him later. Do you choose Christ Jesus now? You do well. You will have him later. Those who reject Christ or choose not to decide, choosing not to decide is a nay. Will get their way. You can choose that if you would. You'll have your way. And you'll have the same thing in heaven. If you won't have them now, you won't have them then. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. The most pitiable. What is in view here is that discipleship costs much. We worship Jesus. We take our stand for him. We deal with scorn from the world. Many times our family and our friends and our associations, those in our jobs, will scorn us for what we believe. We'll certainly sacrifice comfort in this life. And if it was only a this life thing, this is the Apostle Paul's point, if it was only a this life kind of thing, we'd be objects of pity. We're wasting our time. But there's more than that. The Christian suffers now because there's a hope later. You've got 70 or 80 years if by reason of God's grace he gives that to you. Look at that in light of eternity. It's the day of the grass that withers after the day is done. After the sun goes down and there's a day without rain. We also find implicit in our text that Christ Jesus does offer hope in this life. I don't want you to miss this. Many folks do. As we read through this verse, we sort of skip ahead. And we do well to do so, to keep the scripture in context. But look what we see in our text. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, so there it is. So we do have hope in Christ. Even now, even in this life. Lay hold of it. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with what? With benefits. The God of our salvation. Let us count the ways. Scripture, for whatever things were written before were written, why? For our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Hope in this life is based upon the objective truth of God's Word. The Bible will never steer you wrong, friend. The witness of God, the Holy Spirit, is given to believers. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by who? The Holy Spirit, by God Himself, the third person of the Trinity, who was given to us, who was bequeathed, you might say, to us, by God the Son. This being announced on the day that He announced His exodus, His departure. The love of God is continually reinforced by the presence of God Himself in the heart of the Christian who seeks His face. Therefore, there is hope in Christ in this life. The supernatural peace of God leads us into the place of spiritual receptivity. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For perfect love casts out fear and draws us to God. There is hope in prayer to the God of heaven in Jesus' name. In other words, the road to direct communication between us and God the Father, between you and your Creator, between you and God the Father, has been paved in Christ's blood. This is His mediatorial work. For there is one mediator between God and man. That is the man, Christ Jesus, and the work is finished. The veil that separates man and God, the veil in the temple, has been rent in twain from top to bottom. In Scripture, hope in this life is fully intertwined with hope in the next. It's been well said that the resurrection is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Hope is a certainty for the Christian because it is based on two things. Number one, the Word of God. And number two, the work of God. The Word of God and the resurrection work of God the Son, Christ Jesus. Behold the words of the angel to Mary and the woman when they arrive at the empty tomb. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. How be it that you would come here to seek the living amongst the dead? He's risen, just as He said. The resurrection work being accomplished according to the Word of God. The work of God accomplished according to the Word of God. Jesus' resurrection is the evidence that He is the Son of God. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. By what? The resurrection from the dead. The resurrection work declared by the Word of God. Very interesting. You could make an argument that the Epistle to the Romans and the Epistle to the Hebrews are the two most theologically charged letters. By theology, we simply mean the study of God. The two most theologically charged letters in the New Testament. And what does the Apostle Paul choose to base his argument on? The resurrection. He starts right there. Because without a living God, without the resurrection, we are of all men most pitiable. For it is the basis, the proof, and the consummation of the work of Christ. Jesus is said to be the first fruits, the first one who is resurrected from the dead, never to experience death again. Only God Himself has the power to take up His own life again of His own volition. Remember, Jesus said, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again. And guess what? I'm going to do both. For my love for sinners is such that I'm going to lay my life down because it is the only way by which sinful man might be reconciled to holy God. But he took it up again as well. The first fruits, the first one who is resurrected from the dead. Now, if Jesus is the first fruits, the first one, then it follows that there will be others. If Jesus would be the first to rise from the dead, then there would be the second and the third and the fourth and so forth. Let's read on in our text so that we can get a better understanding of the context of verse 20 in our text. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In other words, who've died a physical death, who've experienced physical death. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Of course, we've all inherited the sin nature of Adam, and we're all sinners, and therefore, because of our sin, there's a blockade, an impenetrable blockade placed between God and us, one that only God could remove, and Jesus Christ did that. This is his work. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. At his coming. Now, does this mean we go into a holding pattern when we die a physical death? By no means. For what did Jesus say? One of his last seven sayings on the cross was this to the penitent criminal on the side of him. The repentant criminal. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. So did that guy go to purgatory or limbo or kind of float out, you know, around like a disembodied spirit someplace? No! Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Now, without getting into the whole personal eschatological significance of this whole thing, suffice it to say that our spirit goes into the presence of Christ immediately at the moment of death, based upon what? Based upon what we have done with Jesus Christ now. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. We get one chance. One chance. What then will you do with Jesus? In our extended text this morning, notice here in verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." So all means all, right? This is the all. All means all. We're literalists here. We take what the Word of God says and we take it literally, unless there's some reason in the context of the passage not to. All means all. Okay, so all are going to enter into the spiritual state. All are going to, because we're made, created with an eternal spirit, we're all going to enter into an eternal state someplace. But only some will be with Christ, right? Verse 23. Those who are Christ's. That's where the distinction is drawn. There are those who are Christ's, and if there are those who are Christ's, then there are those who are not Christ's. Which one are you? Consider these things in your heart. And also today, reflect upon the meaning and the significance of the resurrection. What does that mean to you? It's the heart of the Christian message. It's the reason for your hope, Christian. Christ's victory has been accomplished. Christians are on the winning team. Because there is one in heaven who leads it. Right, for all us hockey fans, I know we got a few of them here. Right, the Bruins are a pretty good team. They have a captain. Zdeno Chara, right? He's pretty good. You got a captain like that, you're in pretty good shape. You got a pretty good shot at winning the Stanley Cup. But Jesus is called in the scripture the captain of our salvation. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. We have a captain spiritually who is God himself. If you're on that team, you cannot lose. Be comforted by that promise, friends. It should be a great source of comfort and even excitement today that you're a partaker of the victory which Christ has accomplished for you. Let us thank God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ in the days to come, in the week to come, in the months to come. Take heart because of the resurrection. And therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Cheerfully serve Christ, knowing the end from the beginning, that there is no wasted or unnoticed service in the sight of the omnipresent, omniscient, victorious living God, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that you bless the remainder of our service. Bless each and every one here in attendance this morning and everyone who might be in my hearing. May Jesus the Christ, who accomplished the victory in all glory, be glorified in our midst. Amen. Amen.